Good morning, everyone. Will you please stand with me this morning as we get into worship this morning?
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry the kind of weight? Was my tomb till I met you. I was beaten but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb.
Church. Today is a very special day because we've got three amazing baptisms today.
Yay!
This is a record for me in Missouri to do three in one day. I'm really excited because, we have some really amazing people that God has done some awesome things in their lives, and they're just here to declare what God has done in their lives to all of you here. And everyone that's witnessing today, okay? But before we do that, we're going to do some more worship. But if you'll pray with me this morning, Lord Jesus, we pray as we continue into this service today that we can approach your throne, that we could be in your presence, God, that we can come to know you more today, and that we can celebrate with those who are being baptized today what you've done in their lives and what you've done in our lives. In your name, amen.
Oh,
the world that you decide. Our earthly crown and all our desires lay at your Oh, I simply come. Longing just to bring something that's a word that'll bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made.
Jesus, that we are able to worship today and come into your presence, God. And we thank you for this opportunity that we have together. Lord Jesus, help us to not forget who we are in you. Help us to not place those things beyond you in our lives. The only ones that diminish you is us, God. And I pray, Jesus, that we will not diminish who you are. Lord God, please be with us today as we continue into our service today, God. Help us to know and to be in your presence. We thank you, Lord. Amen. take a moment and say hi to some folks this morning?
Sunday morning, preacher said, life's a mist, it's just a breath. We're only here for a little while. He talked about his daddy's grave. It read 1910 to 98, but the years between were just a little line. Got me wondering what I'm chasing. Don't want another minute wasted. There's a day we're born, day we pass. In between, there's just a dash. What on earth am I doing? What on earth am I doing? Yeah, I got time, but time goes fast. Yeah, that line's all I have. What on earth am I doing? What on earth am I doing? I could take this life and live it well. I could keep on living it for myself. What's it gonna say when it calls me up? Was I just words or was I love? Did I love great or just good enough? I just hope he says well done. I keep on wondering what I'm chasing. Don't want another minute wasted. There's a day we're born, day we pass. In between there's just a dash. What on earth am I doing? What on earth am I doing? Yeah, I got time, but time goes fast. Yeah, that line's all I have. What on earth am I doing? Hey. What on earth am I doing? Hey,
cause real life's in the trenches, not from the stands and our lofty benches with manicured hands. I wanna dash as dirty, a life fully spent, weathered and scarred from all the life that I lived. The times that we go out of our way to paint beautiful blue over somebody's grave. When we stopped and defended injustice, or sanded the heart of a friend that got rusted. I don't know my number or year that'll pass. From this cold world to the kingdom that lasts. But carpe diem, it's worth it to live it, not blur it. Or years could fly by and you still ain't met purpose.
There's a day we're born, day we pass. In between, there's just a dash. What on earth am I doing? What on earth am I doing? Yeah, I got time, but time goes fast. Yeah, that line's all I have. What on earth am I doing? What on earth am I doing?
What on earth am I doing? Life's short, but a vapor. What you gonna do? What you gonna do with yours?
Wash over my head. I do this because I know who I am. I do this because I'm forgiven. I do this because He rose. I know no water can change me, but this water is a sign that change has occurred in my heart. My life will never be the same. So now I'm proclaiming it to the world. And just as Jesus was buried, I will be buried. Just as Jesus rose, I will rise. Faith, hope, love, none are greater than these. I have faith that Jesus is who He says He is. I have hope in His resurrection and His everlasting power. His endless love has forever changed my life.
This is the coolest part. I love this part. have a seat. I don't need you just yet. I'm talking. So, Elizabeth's excited because she's going to be my microphone stand. I'm excited because this is like my favorite part. One of the things that we don't have here, I'm very thankful for the baptistry we have. Stock tanks are awesome. I'm just telling you. But I tell you what, I've been in one of those, like, you walk in the baptistry and you dunk people in the baptistries, you know those? And I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest, amazing, peaceful, awesome experiences I've ever had as a pastor was the first time I did a baptism. And I ended up baptizing, like, almost a dozen kids or something like that. I was a children's pastor at the time. And we did a baptism service for kids. And just being in that water, it's like, wow. You could really just feel like the presence of God in there. And so there's nothing like being baptized. I'm very, very honored because the first person I ever baptized, well, I don't know if you were the first, but you were definitely in the mix, was Abigail, my daughter. And last year I got to baptize Elizabeth. And today, I get to do something amazing and carry on that tradition. And I'm going to be baptizing Matthias this morning. So, Matthias, come on up. And now I need my mic stand. So this is always like a family experience where they come up and take the photos and the videos and everything else. So I want to encourage you, because we have three folks getting baptized today, if you want to come up and take photos and videos, I really don't mind, okay? Because this is an important moment. So, all right. The good news is I warmed it up last night. Matthias, you've committed your heart to Christ, correct? You believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes? No? Maybe so? Yes? So what we're going to be doing is called baptism, and it's a symbol of being buried to your old self and being born again in Jesus Christ. You understand that? Is there anything else? Is there anything you want to say to everyone? Appropriate things? He is a 9-year-old boy. Anything? Okay. So what you're going to do is you're going to go ahead and put your hand on, just like I showed you before. Yep. Hand on your nose and your mouth. And the other hand up here, covering. Matthias, I am very proud to be able to baptize you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. Let's give it. All right, next up we have Chris. Chris is interesting because he did all of his baptism training and everything remotely. Flashback to COVID. Did anyone do a baptism during COVID? Be a remote baptism? All right, Chris. as remote training. Chris, I'm very proud to baptize you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, last but certainly not least, Mr. Shane. You know where to go, right? Let's bring this out a little.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
We'll see them all in a second. They have to go dry off and get cleaned up. All right. Shane, I am very, very honored today to see what God has done in your life and how he's been changing you and molding you as a man of God. And I'm very, very happy to say that I today baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. This is the best. Here, let me see your shirt for a minute.
Hey.
I forgot to bring a towel. That is awesome. That is the best, isn't it? All right, now we're going to all take turns taking little cups of our hands and just throwing the water outside. Yeah, no. Wow. Anyone else? Hey, it's warm right now. Huh? What's that? Oh. We do have some extra clothes back there. All right. Well, I'm pretty excited, y'all. That's pretty awesome. I've had the opportunity to, I mean, with Matthias, it's obvious, but I've had a wonderful opportunity to kind of follow along these three gentlemen and how God has been changing them and growing them and all this other stuff, and it's pretty amazing. And I'm following all of that amazing stuff up with announcements. Isn't that awesome? So, Breaker Rock Beach is coming up. This is our VBS, and we have that kicking off July 8th through 12th from 9 to noon. It is completely free, except for one thing. If anyone wants to go on the optional field trip to Wonders of Wildlife, we're asking that folks pay, what are we $25, right? $25 for kids, $35 for adults. Leah's in charge of this thing. I just get to be the face of it. I'm sorry. She's prettier, I know. But she's helping to take care of Malachi and keep him straight, I guess. If you're interested in attending or if you're interested in volunteering, volunteers do have to have a background check. But if you're interested in volunteering or attending, I want to encourage you to scan the QR code that's there or go visit live360.org/Conway and you sign up on there. It's going to be an amazingly fun, awesome time. So It's going to be great. I'm really excited. Another thing I'm really pumped about, and I mean I'm really pumped about, is youth camp. Youth camp is amazing, awesome, and yes, those are two different words to describe youth camp. So, and it doesn't even scratch the surface because youth camp is just so much fun, and more than that, is an incredible, incredible blessing to all the kids that go, and they get to learn and have a much deeper relationship with God when they return. It's life altering, life changing. All the coolest things in my life as a young person happened while I was at camp or at convention. So, in those youth ages. So, yeah. All right. Something I'm pumped about, but I don't get to go to is women's ministry. woot woot. Warriors at the Well. It's time to assemble. Warriors assemble. 7 o'clock tonight here at the church. I want to invite you. If you're a woman, it is a great time. You know, we usually use the concept of men, like men's ministry, the iron sharpening the iron. But ladies, y'all are iron too. So you got to sharpen each other. And this is a great opportunity to come together, challenge each other, and just really grow. The ladies did a phenomenal support to our elementary school. This, what was it, 2 weeks ago now?
Yeah.
It was last week? I lose track of time. I had a birthday last week, and I think I just lost my memory after that. There are people in here that'll beat you up and know where to bury you, and they can't find you. Yeah, I know. That's on Facebook now. I'm going to jail. No. So, seriously, the women did some amazing work. They raised funds for the women's ministry. It's really, really amazing when the ladies come together. Yeah. So I will divulge the amount to Marlena later today, and or at least the roundabout figure of how much was raised, so that you guys can share that at women's ministry, because I want the women to share it together first. Okay? Woot woot. All right. We have divorce care. If you've been divorced or you've gone through divorce, maybe you're a child of divorce, and this is a great opportunity for you to come together with other like-minded people, folks that have experienced what you've experienced. It's a great support group for each other, and you learn stuff. I've never been, but I've heard wonderful things from folks that have come, and it is an important piece of who we are. A part of the DNA of our church is to help support folks in our community in the different areas that they've been at and the things that they're going through in their life. So I want to encourage you, if you've been divorced, considering divorce, or any of those stages within all of that, connect up with Rick and Janet, who are these folks, fine folks here. They can wave their hands, say, "Wave, say hi, that's us." And they would love to see you on Monday nights at 6:30 right here. Life journals. If you look back on the back table, they are gone. They're all gone. So I ordered more. They'll be here on Sunday. I ordered only a few because most of us have them already that want them. But if you do want one and you don't have one, I'll have more next Sunday. They're in the mail. So that kind of takes time. After church today, we are doing the Baptism Sunday lunch. It is a potluck. So I've not taken a look. So I used to have a saying, I'm happy to be in a church where I can say we have potlucks and not pot unlucks. So we're going to... Looks very lucky, my wife says. So that's encouraging. You ever been to a pot unluck?
Yes.
Some folks have, some folks haven't. You know what I call a pot unluck? Is when I go somewhere and everything is made with mustard. I don't like mustard. And right? I got a sandwich yesterday. And I ordered it, and I'd like ordered all the stuff off of it that I don't like. At least I thought so. And then there was pickles on it, and I was like, "Ew, I don't like pickles."
Yeah,
Malachi loves pickles, but I had to pull it off, and I'm like, wow, that was not lucky. And it made me think of, like, you know, I'm so happy that tomorrow we're going to have a potluck and the food is going to be amazing. After church today is all said and done, I'm going to be going out there and getting the grill fired up. We have burgers and hot dogs and all that wonderful stuff. So, and cheese. We have cheese because cheese is good. So, all right. If you want to follow along online with your phone, you can download the Faith Life Study Bible app, and you can follow along on the slides there if you don't want to follow along up here. But right now, kiddos, if you would please, if Miss Leah will take you guys and go hang out and do the kiddo things. All right. So everyone wave to the kids. Say bye, kids. I have water on my microphone cover. It's not spit, I promise. I think it's essence of Matthias. So, tithes and offerings. All right, Elizabeth. Elizabeth's going to be my wonderful Vanna today. We had an amazing week last week for tithes and offerings, and I really want to thank everyone. I know it was the beginning of the month, and so that really does help, but we have been preparing to do a lot of different events and things like that, and none of that happens without your faithfulness and giving. And so I really appreciate that you guys make the effort to continue to give not only to the church and what we do, but you're also faithful to the Lord and his direction and giving. In addition to that, we've been on target with giving to all of our missionaries. My hope is that in time we will be in a position where we can actually add additional missionaries to what we're already giving. One of the things that's emphasized to us as pastors is how important missions is. And one of the goals of Life 360 is to, for all of the money that we bring in on tithes, is that our goal is to be at 10% of that be an additional offering to missionaries for each Life 360 church. So I'm hoping that we will be able to get to that point. We will be having a missions emphasis coming up. We do that every year in October, and I want to be able to lay out, you know, here's where we are, this is our goal for the year, and then be able to present to you what our goal is going to be for the next year as well. So I'm pretty excited about all of that. My intent is that we'll be able to start presenting to you guys more often what our giving is at and what our goals are going to be at for every single year. So that way everyone knows, hey, how are we doing as a church? Is, you know, we measure how a church is doing by, you know, a lot of churches measure it, and I've never loved measuring it this way, but a lot of people measure it this way: butts and seats and bucks and buckets. And I don't love that analogy, because really what we're all about is relationships with Jesus Christ. How close are you getting to Jesus? Are you becoming a better disciple? Are you becoming someone who is confident and comfortable with sharing their faith? And that's more important than anything else. So I want to encourage you guys to continue to give, to continue to be faithful. I know it can be rough sometimes. I know from experience it can be rough sometimes, especially when there doesn't seem to be enough money and there's too much month, especially in these times with the economy as it is. But the reality is, and this is the truth, if we're faithful to the Lord, he is faithful to us, and he'll meet all of our needs. Trust me, I have not missed a meal, and I've had rough times. So God is good. And I just need to be good to myself sometimes, I guess. But I want to emphasize that to you guys. You know. All right. Well, Lord God, thank you so much for the continued support of the ministry into this community. Lord God, as we move into the rest of our service today, I pray that you would be with me as I communicate the word of God. And I thank you, Jesus, for everyone here today. Be in their hearts. Have them hear your words today. Amen. Well, Titus is where we are. We're in the book of Titus, and we are wrapping it up today. This is the last message in this series. Uh-oh. Yeah, I guess that means we start something else next week. So, today wraps up our series in Titus. I hope you've enjoyed this book. Have you guys ever spent this much time in Titus before? I haven't. I'll be honest. You know, it's a three-chapter book, and I think I've stretched it into 5 weeks. It's the first time reading Titus, really? Didn't you have to read it for Honor Star? Oh, okay. My biggest takeaway from this whole series is really goes back to what we're talking about here, is that Titus is kind of like a how-to letter for all believers. A lot of times, the book of Titus and Timothy, which are kind of in that same vein, they get wrapped into this whole thing of like, this is the message to the ministers. No, it's not. It's really not. Titus is the book of Titus and Timothy as well. But the book of Titus is really talking to Titus, and he needs to find people to be leaders and ministers within the church in Crete. So this is really a letter to all believers. This is who we're looking for. This is the type of people that God is looking for to be ministers. But more than just being ministers, but how to live as a Christian, how to live your life as a believer in Christ. And so that's my biggest takeaway from all of this. I think we can get lost in the words of the Bible, because the tense of how everything is written is kind of set up in the present tense. But then we think of it like it's in the past. You ever catch that before? Sometimes we think of the Bible like, well, that just happened 2,000 years ago, so everything should have the ED at the end. And it doesn't. This is like, this is how you're supposed to live. This is who you're supposed to be looking for. This is. It's not past tense, it's present tense. And that present tense doesn't change just because it happened in the past. Sometimes it does. But in this case, it doesn't. So don't put an ED on Titus. It's not Titus-ed. It's Titus. I know, Michelle's tired of the Titus jokes. So let's get ready. Let's get going this morning. This is going to be our last three verses. We're going to be in Titus chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. It says, I am planning to send either Artemis or Tychius to you as soon as one of them arrives. Do your best to meet me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to stay there for the winter. Do everything you can to help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos with their trip. See that they are given everything they need. Our people must learn to do good by meeting the urgent needs of others. Then they will not be unproductive. Everybody here sends greetings. Please give my greetings to the believers, all who love us. May God's grace be with you all. Three verses. It's like he's writing a letter. Huh? Three verses. 12, 13, 14. My dad, man. Thank you, Dad. Four verses. I speak for a living. Can I ask you guys some questions? You guys used to this by now? All right. Have you ever glossed over Scripture? Yeah. Have you ever glossed over that Scripture before? Be honest with me. Yeah, we do it all the time, don't we? Why? Yeah, we don't think it's important. Or, you know, my favorite one is like the Book of Numbers, and when you're glossing over all those numbers and all those names you don't want to pronounce. And it's like, I'm reading, like with the Life Journal, when we're reading all of the Life Journal reading stuff, all the different reading lessons and things like that. You know, what's nice is they have the kids version of it, or the short version is what they call it in the adult Life Journal. They call it the shortened version. It's also the kid version. But if you read the full version, you're like, man, this is just a lot, because you're reading the whole Bible in a year. And so you get to like Numbers or whatever it is. It's, you know, what was one of my favorite things is reading Leviticus and then reading Deuteronomy, because if you parse down what God is saying in those two books of the Bible, God is saying, here's what you need to do. And then in Deuteronomy, he's like, no, seriously, this is what you need to do, because Deuteronomy is just basically a repeating of Leviticus all over again. And it's like, Lord, why are you making me do this twice? He's like, because, you know, you don't get it after the second time. You get it after, like, the 40th time sometimes. Sometimes I still don't get it. But we do. We gloss over Scripture sometimes. And things like this, you know, how many of you guys have, like, glossed over emails? Oh, my. And then you miss something really important. Don't tell me you do that. You work for the government. That's very scary, Dad. Personal emails. Okay. I asked my dad once what he does for a living, and don't ask him what he does for a living, because I don't think he can tell us anyway. He says he reads emails. My dad works for one of the alphabets in the government, and he can't tell me what he does. I don't need to know. I don't have a high enough clearance, I guess. But don't gloss over your emails, please. We were talking about the government last week, and I wonder how many of them are glossing over their emails or the bills that they write. Anyway, so here's my next question, because I need to move on now because the government's listening. When do you feel the most productive? Sure, when you stand up or in the morning. When do you feel the most productive? A time, yeah. When? Oh, I'm not just talking about the Bible now. I'm talking about life here. I'm not going to lie. If I haven't had my coffee yet, I ain't going to be productive. It's true. I learned something interesting today. There's actually a neurotransmitter in your brain that when you drink coffee, it increases that neurotransmitter, and it makes you more productive. It helps your memory and all this other stuff. And I said, I just need to mainline that sucker and get it in there, because that's what I need in reality, because I'm only really productive when that part of my brain is operating well. So when is it? When are you most productive? I'm getting a lot of this, but that's not an answer. Huh? Nighttime? Some people are most productive at night. I don't know who they are or why that is. That's weird for me. Huh? Some people are nocturnal, I guess, yeah. Midday? You know when else I'm productive? When I'm doing things. That's not hard to admit, right? When you're actually doing things, you're being productive. Yeah. Sure, when you're learning about what you need to do or preparing for it ahead of time. When you're properly motivated. I'm pretty productive when I have a deadline. I'm hanging out on this question, aren't I? I'm not being very productive in this message, am I? No. Why is it important for you to devote yourself to doing good? Why is it important to devote yourself to doing good? I really thought the productive one would have sparked less conversation, but evidence of your salvation. What else? It's a commandment. Someone told, because God told you to. Sometimes you do stuff because your dad told you to do it. Right. Well, get used to it. You're going to have someone telling you to do stuff for your whole life, trust me. That's why a lot of people go into independent work, because they don't want to have someone tell them what to do. But the reality is that you realize that you still have people telling you what to do, because then you have to pay your taxes, or you have to clear things through the court, or you have to go get a permit, or you have to go get this or that or the other thing. Yeah. You got to listen to your customers, because you got to, you know, customer's always right, even if it ends up hurting someone. Why is it important to devote yourself to doing good? Let's focus on another word here. Let's focus on, we get the concept of doing good, but why is it important to devote yourself to doing it? What does the word devote mean? Concentrated effort. What else? Immersing yourself. I'm looking for a specific word. It starts with C. Commit. Anyone have trouble with commitment? Ladies, say nothing. don't elbow anybody here. Anyone have trouble with commitment? Being committed to doing good. Devote yourself to doing. Is devoting yourself something you just kind of willy-nilly do? No. What does it require? Effort. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. It takes action. It takes effort. Patience, yeah, a little bit. It can, yeah. You have to be intentional. We can look it up. Let's look it up. Why not, right? We all got Bibles. We can all help each other out. Go to Psalms and take a right. Boom. 16. Thank you. I love that. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. And what does it say right after that? Yep. What does it say before that verse? I know. I'm just saying. Let's get some context here. What does it say in verse 2? Ooh. God cares about your motives. That's right. Man, I'm not even having to preach today. I love that. That is awesome. I love it. So guess what today's message is called? Titus 3:12-15, being part of God's plan. See? We're on the same page in everything. So the scripture we were reading today, Titus 3:12-15, are part of the conclusion of a letter written to Titus. And it has very, by the way, it has very little in the way of spiritual instruction, right? Right? Nothing there? We can just finish the message right now? Oh. Well, it's a good thing I have more notes. All right. So, wrong! There's a lot there. You see, I think something interesting has happened in our modern world. You see, when we write a letter or send an email, we usually skip to the instructions leading up to the email and only include instructions and requests we're making to people. So let me clarify what I mean. When I send an email, It used to be we would send emails like letters. How's your mom and them? This is what's going on in my life. This is what's happening. Hey, can you send it? Here comes the instructions. Hey, can you send this, that, and the other thing? Can you please do this, that, and the other thing? Hey, and then we finish it like, wow, this has been so wonderful. I'm so glad we got to catch up. I'm looking forward to your next letter. Hey, by the way, this person might be passing through. And then we sign it and put our name at the bottom for real. But we created this amazing, wonderful little device, and around the middle of the 2000s, this thing. And then what happened is we started using what it looks like this. And so I can actually go in here and click this little thing right here, and I can go into here and I can do this. I just sent her an instruction. And what was the instruction? Stand up. Why? Yeah, it's just a quick response, right? Well, that's what we do now. We just send instructions. You can sit down. We just send instructions. And what do we do with our emails now? We do the same thing. Dear Dad, please send money. Thanks, Scott. We do this though, don't we? We send instructions. We don't communicate. We don't talk much anymore. We don't send. When was the last time you wrote a letter? I mean, think about how annoying that is now. You got to pull a piece of paper out. You have to use your handwriting, which your hand hurts now because you haven't been handwriting in so long. You get this carpal tunnel feeling in your hand because now you're having to handwrite. Who wants to handwrite anyway? And then after that, you gotta figure out how to fold the thing because nobody remembers how to fold paper anymore. And then you put it into an envelope, and you have to find the dang envelopes because who put the envelopes away? You don't know. And then, I'll be honest, I had to ask my wife where the envelopes are in the house. And then I grabbed an envelope, and she got mad because I grabbed the wrong envelope. I just grabbed the one on the top. Well, this is for our Christmas cards. Well, we're done with those Christmas cards. Why can't we just use this envelope? So we got the envelope. We put it in there. And then what would we have to do? We have to address the dang thing. And, you know, I'm happy because I have these stickers. Everyone loves their stickers they get to put on there. And then you get to, but they don't make the stickers for the other side. You can go on your computer and type it out, but that just takes longer. So again, you're grabbing a pen with your hand that hurts because you just wrote a letter, and you're having to write the address on there. And then what? You got to put a stamp on it, and that costs money. Then it costs more money every single year. You got to put a stamp on it. You get them forever stamps. That's good because you should have bought those 10, 15 years ago. Got all the forever stamps you're ever going to need for the rest of your life because they're only going to go up. And then you put the stamp on it, and then what do you got to do? You got to go put it in the mail. You may not got to walk out to the mailbox. And then you have to wait till the next day because you missed the mail pickup, or you got to drive all the way down to the post office and throw it in that blue bin. And then it takes how long to get to the other person on the other side? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 days, whatever. The life journals aren't here yet because they're being sent media mail from Oregon. We'll see them sometime by Friday. I ordered them last Sunday. I mean, who writes a letter anymore? You're special. Oh, well, that's... Well, you need to send them through the post office. That's so cool. I love that. That is cool. But now you got to wait for it. Yeah. There you go. Make him wait. Drop it off in Marshfield. Then it's got to go up to Kansas City before it comes back down here. Yeah. Yep. They don't. That's how it works. But see, we want to skip all those steps now and just send out the instruction. What would the book of Titus look like if it only had the instructions in it? A whole lot shorter and a whole lot more boring to read. Can you think of a book of the Bible where it's all instructions? Neither can I. I mean, there's a couple books of the Old Testament that are blamed for just having instructions in there, but there's other stuff in there. And we do. We gloss over those instructions, don't we? How many of you have ever glossed over instructions? How many of y'all ever put furniture together without using the instructions? How many of y'all tried to put an oil pan back on a car without actually checking the instructions on how to put all the pieces back together without breaking the engine? I'm a little sour about my wife's car, sorry. We got it back, though. It's here. But here, we do this a lot. We shouldn't. Because the instructions are important, but also the other elements that go along with it are important. You have to understand is that there's more to instructions. There's more to a message than just the message. There's more to a church, a group of people coming together for the purposes of advancing the kingdom of God, than just the church. And you all know this because you're going through things in your life. I know that. I know there's more going on in your life than just what's happening here on Sunday morning. There is. There's 6 other days a week. The reality is that the book of Titus could exist without this last part. It could have been sent separately in a different message. Oh, by the way, Apollos is going to be coming through with that lawyer guy. Oh, hey, I'm sending along these other guys. But he included it all together. Why? Because it's a letter, not an email, not a text message. And how many of y'all know when you're sending a letter and you got to put a stamp on that sucker, you're going to fit in as much as you can? Back then, they didn't have the USPS. You want to talk about inefficient. You had to find a guy that was heading that direction, and you're like, I hope I trust this guy. Or you send someone along, and then you're paying for their way, their transportation, their food, everything else. Man, stamps are cheap compared to what it used to be. But the reality is I want to tell you something. This part of the letter is where all the rest of the stuff that's just been talked about, all those instructions and everything that came in the book of Titus, this is where the rubber meets the road. And he sums it up real quick. Number one, either Artemis or Tychius is coming to replace you. Number two, after they replace you, come and meet me in Nicopolis, where I'm spending the winter. Number three, help Xenius and Apollos as they pass through your area. And number four, say hi to everybody. That's it. Pretty simple. But there's a lot to be done along with those tasks, isn't there? How many of y'all are planners? And you think in plans. You think in steps. How many steps is in there? Artemis and Tychanus are coming to replace me. Well, what have I done wrong? Haven't I done enough? I mean, you're just thinking in Titus's brain. I'm like, is that what he's thinking? Or is my time up? Because I was here to plant the churches and find the people. Did I do enough? Did I get these people selected right? Did I choose the right ones? Why is Paul asking me to meet him in Nicopolis? Should I be wintering there as well? Should I be packing a coat? You ever think about that, like when you're traveling, like all the different elements you need to bring, and you're like, all of a sudden you're going, man, I guess I'm paying that luggage fee. or you got to get the topper for the vehicle because it's not going to have enough room. Why is he asking me to come and be with him? Why are Zinnias and Apollos coming through? He doesn't really say why. Why is he coming through Crete? I mean, it just, are they just coming to say hi? Are they going to drop something off? I don't know. Did I just lose my job here? If I'm Titus, I'm suddenly filled with all sorts of questions. But the reality is Titus was never meant to stay there. He was meant to establish the church and then turn it over to someone who would be the elders. He was to establish the church, find the elders for the church, and then leave. Why? Because guess what Titus did for a living? He went to another place, and he established a church, and he found a bunch of elders to take it over, and then he would leave. And he'd find another place to establish another church and find the elders within the church and then leave. This is what the guy did for a living. He's a church planter. Exactly. That was right there in my notes. Titus is a church planter. He's there to place leaders into authority and then leave. I would say that's pretty important for our church, isn't it? We are Life 360 Church Conway. But we didn't start off that way. Did you know that? You ready for a history lesson? All right. Who loves history? Before this building was Life 360 Church Conway, we were known as Conway Assembly of God. Before that, this church building was also known as Victory Assembly of God. Were you guys here for that? Victory Assembly of God. All right. This building has served as a church since its chartering on March 23rd, 1949. Actually, this part of the building, pretty much, right? Interstate 44 began construction in 1956, and it was finished in 1966. So this church has been here longer than the interstate. The church has seen several pastors come through over here over the years, at least 26. 26 pastors. First one, C.I. Wilson from 1949 to 1953. W.O. Cox, 1953 to 1954. Paul Cunningham, 1954 to 1955. John L. Lewis, 1955 to 56. Paul Wood, 56 to 57. Johnny Thomas, 1957 to 58. Gordon Zecker, 58 to 61. Harry Colson, 61 to 62. Harry Cole, 62 to 65. Melvin Clay, 1965 to 68. L.C. Ramsey, February 1968 to July 1968. Albert Shannon, 68 to 73. David Meade, 73 to 78. Larry Roberts, 78 to 79. Dennis McKinsley, February of 1979 to August 1979. Burl White, 79 to 86. Carl Hanick, 86 to 87. Gary Sexton, 87 to 88. Brett Nuritil. Did I get that one right? I can't remember. That one's hard to tell. Sorry, Brett, if you're still around, I got your name wrong. I apologize. 88 to 89. Van McMahon, 1989 to 1990. David Houghton, 1990 to 1992. Daniel Donaldson, 1992 to 98. Charles Millhauser, 98 until at least 2004. I don't know how long Millhauser was here. Do you know? Five, 6 years? I don't have any record of that beyond 2004. Pastor David, who was the pastor before me, was here and who got here around the mid 2010s, and I came on board in 2021, And so I put it on there. I said, Scott Bierman, 2021 to present. I can imagine someone several years from now trying to pronounce my name and getting it wrong. Thanks, Dad. So I'm not even sure if there was a pastor between Millhauser and Pastor David. But I do know something, that there was a gap of time in there. Do you know what happened during that gap of time? His church was closed. Left for dead. No services on Sunday. Nobody here. It wasn't until Pastor David came along that this church even began to reestablish itself. And then he was reached, and then one day he had a meeting with Pastor Ted, who is the vision pastor for Life 360. And said, hey, we're trying to establish a food program in Conway. Would you be willing to run it? And they worked things out and told him about the salary and all this other stuff that we worked out. And it happened. The district approved that this little district-affiliated church, Conway Assembly of God, would be transformed into Life 360 Conway. Let me get a little technical with you. Okay? Now we've done history. Let's do technical stuff. Our church is what's called a PAC. PAC stands for Parent Affiliated Church. Pastor Ted Cederblom is our vision pastor. Pastor David, the previous guy, knew him, and that's how they became friends, and we became Life 360. We became a PAC church. All of this work, all the decisions that were made, all the dedication that was given, I believe God has worked all of that out, all of our history, to bring us to where we are today, so we can be a part of His plan for our community. His church's history was filled with come-and-go ministers. And at one time, the church was shut down. But our church isn't dead. We're alive. And at every turn, we want to show this community what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. I believe God has a lot more work for us to do. So I want to share with you some of the vision that I have for this church. Well, the vision I have for this church. I wasn't really planning on doing this, but here I am. I guess I was planning because I have slides for it, but a couple weeks ago I wasn't really planning on doing this, but here we are. This is our 360 ministry. This is our vision for 2029. It's a 5-year plan, and in 2029, this church will celebrate its 80th anniversary. So this is where I'd like to see us in the next 5 years. You ready? Number one, have a leadership team that exemplifies the Bible's direction and communicates vision and mission to the church. You're like, well, that's a lot. Yeah, just wait. Be a church that emphasizes personal relationships with Christ, biblical preaching and teaching, and is dynamic in worship. Intentionally embody the concepts of belonging, believing, and becoming, caring for everyone in the community, spending time with them, and having times where people get together beyond Sunday morning. Develop ministries that meet the needs of people in our community. The needs include food insecurity, mental health care, student ministries, women's and men's ministries as well. We want to reach everybody where they're at. Be active in reaching others for Christ through evangelism. Give generously to missions to reach people around the world for Christ, all the while maintaining and developing a strong relationship within our community. How do we accomplish that? We're going to follow the Holy Spirit as we grow as a church. And that's the only slide I have on that. How do we achieve all that other mess, our vision for our church? Real simple. We follow the Holy Spirit as we grow. The next 5 years are going to be very, very critical to our growth as a church. One of two things are going to happen over the next 5 years. We are either going to succeed as a church, or we're going to turn into a church just like everybody else, where everyone in the congregation comes in, grows old, and dies. There are too many churches out there right now. I know several of them. When the congregation dies, the church is dead. That means we have to constantly be refreshing ourselves, constantly reaching out to new people, constantly reaching out to generations where I don't understand their language. And that right there is no cap. I'm learning it. We need to get bussing, y'all. Thank you. I know, I'm sorry. I'm 41, I should not be making those jokes. So, that's what we got to do, folks. We got to follow the Holy Spirit as we grow as a church. And in 5 years, we are either going to look exactly like we do right now with more wrinkles and gray hair. Some of y'all got the gray hair, just more wrinkles. Or, in my case, no hair. Dad. I know. Oh, we're going to have good problems where we have to figure out if we're going to do another service. Where I fill in the gaps between these chairs. Where we get uncomfortable in our seats because it's getting warm in here. You notice it's not so warm today? I wasn't sure how many people we're going to have, so I turned up the air a little bit. Turned down the air, sorry. So, I want to encourage you guys today by this. I'm not downing you. I'm not being hard on you or anything like that. I want to encourage you to do one thing. One thing, and that's it. What are you good at? What are you good at? What has God created you for that you're good at? And take that one thing that you're doing, that one thing that you're good at. Maybe you're good at like 4,000 things. Great, we'll do 4,000. I don't know who's good at 4,000. But if you're good at like five things, let's say you're five things or one thing or whatever it is, whatever you're good at, and I mean good. I'm not looking for people to be like, take their bad things and do that. I mean, your good things. What are you good at? Are you good at talking? Let's get you talking. You good at singing? Let's get you singing. You good at, I don't know, what else you got? You good at doing math? Great, I'm terrible at it. You good at taking care of babies or watching babies or praying for people or whatever it is? Are you good at being honest with people and direct with people? Are you good at being a teacher? Are you good at mowing lawns? Are you good at fixing stuff? Are you good at breaking stuff? Do people tend to follow you and you have no idea why? What is that thing? Take that thing. Use it in your life. Advance yourself, absolutely, because that's why God gave it to you in the first place, is to take care of you and your family. okay? But use it for the Lord as well. Use it for the Lord. Do the next good thing. Because I'll be perfectly honest with you, and I'm going to take it all the way back. You ready? We're going all the way back right there. Why is it important to devote yourself to doing good? If you're going to say you're going to be somewhere, show up. If you've got good things that you can do in your life, commit to doing those good things. Commit. Devote. Devote. Our people must learn to do good by meeting the urgent needs of others. Then they will not be unproductive. It's right there. It's time for your life to have the rubber meet the road. Time to get serious. Because in 5 years, we're going to look good as a church in God's eyes, or we're going to look old. We're either going to be productive or we're not. I want you guys to stand with me today, and we're going to pray. Lord Jesus, I commit myself to you today. I commit my heart to you. I commit my life to you. Jesus, you know what we need. You know everything that we need, God. You know who we are, who you know how we've been called, how we've been created. And we're here to serve you, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that everyone in this room will commit to you, God. I thank you, Jesus, for all you are, all you do. In your name, amen.
I don't have
Lord has made you to do, whatever he's created you to do, he's calling you to do that. He's calling us to be an active church in our community and to really be that rubber that meets the road. And that's where we need to be. We need to follow the Holy Spirit wherever he's directing and guiding us. And we are going to lead so many people to Jesus if we are obedient to him. Lord God, I pray for everyone in this church today. I pray for everyone in our community today. I pray, Lord God, that your presence would be made known through the lives of the people that are here. Lord, I pray that your presence would be made known within our community, God, and I pray for opportunities to share our faith. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for all that you are. Thank you for our amazing baptisms that have happened today, the declarations of faith that people have made, the lives that have been changed because of who you are and what you do, God. You never fail us, and we love you so much. God, be with us, encourage us, and take us into this week ready to serve you in all of who we are. In your name, amen. God bless. Have an amazing week. We have